Lord be with you.
With
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. You'll have to I have to apologize. You'll have to forgive me. I have to pull out my phone for part of this homily. Okay. There we go. All right. So every once in a while, I like to frequent a website that has Catholic news. Well, it kind of has Catholic news. It's called the Eye of the Tiber, with a B, not a G. So not the Eye of the Tiger like the song from Rocky. The Eye of the Tiber, like the Tiber River in Rome. And this news source, it's a bunch of fake news stories, humorous, comedic fake stories about the Catholic Church. Not that they're making fun of Catholics. In fact, they are Catholics. They just like to, have some fun with our faith. They like to have some jokes on the Church and how we do things. So some of their headlines that I've most recently looked at, one of them, the headline was, Hipster Priest Consecrates Fresh Batch of Seasonal Pumpkin Spice Eucharist, which I thought was pretty good. There was one that says that there's a new app that allows users to locate where the least crappy homily is going to be delivered in the area. Hopefully that would never be St. Patrick's, I don't know. Pope Francis accidentally misplaces keys to the Kingdom of Heaven. He claims that he left them on the cabinet, but he can't find them. And then one of my favorites was they did an interview with St. Joseph of Cupertino, who's the patron saint of test takers, and he's reportedly sick and tired of bailing out students who did not study for their tests. But there was one article that I read that, although humorous, it was funny because it's often true, and good comedy is often in that vein. And the headline was, a report, man who's never killed anyone or anything like that doesn't need to go to confession. And the article reads thus, it says, a new report out today by area Catholic Marcus Dietrich's Conscience reveals that the 31-year-old father of two is most certainly not in need of the sacrament of confession, thanks to never having killed anyone or anything terrible like that. Data compiled by Dietrich after a moment's reflection upon entering church this morning also showed that he was indeed in a proper disposition to receive communion despite a one-year absence from Mass. Quote, I was so relieved when I found out the results of my study, said an anti-scrupulous Dietrich, as he half knelt, half rested his bottom on the edge of the pew during the consecration. Not that I was really surprised by the results. I mean, sure, I don't go to Mass often or pray or anything, and I use contraception, but it's not like I go around shooting people in the head or anything psycho like that, unquote. So he doesn't need to go to confession. You know, in today's gospel, we hear about these two men. One of them goes through all the things that he's doing well, you know, that he's fasting, he's tithing, he's praying, he's doing all these wonderful things. And then we have a second man who comes up and says, I am a sinner. He recognizes the fact that he is a sinner. And for most of us, myself included, When we hear this gospel, we want to compare ourselves to one of the two guys. You know, we want to see in which camp do we fall. And I would suspect that most of us would like to be with the latter. And we like to say to ourselves, yeah, you know, I'm with that guy. I recognize that I'm not perfect. You know, I've committed my fair share of sins. You know, I've done my fair share of, you know, gossiping and lying and all these other things. And yet we leave it at that. You know, and we take pride in that. We're saying, yeah, you know, I'm doing well. I'm doing good enough. And the irony, of course, is if we are in that mindset, if we say to ourselves, I recognize I'm a sinner, I do what I'm supposed to do, I go to Mass every Sunday, I say my prayers, and I'm doing good enough, then in reality, we really are the first guy. In reality, we're the ones that are sitting there saying, yes, I'm doing okay. Yes, I am a good Catholic. And the problem with that is if we get into that mindset where we think to ourselves, I'm doing good enough, I'm fine where I'm at in my spiritual life, then basically we're saying that we are right now as good as we're going to get. That right now, our spiritual life, where we are, it's not going to get any better from here, and that God should just take me now because I'm not going to improve. And of course, the reality is so much deeper than that. The reason that the man in today's gospel is righteous is because he realizes that again and again and again, there is need for change. Time and time again, he recognizes, I am a sinner. I am unworthy of all that God has given me. I am unworthy to receive his grace and his forgiveness. I am unworthy of the love that he has for me. And in recognizing that, in recognizing the need to grow, he is righteous. Now, we are called to do the same. We are called to look at our lives and discern, where can I do more? Where can I give more? Where can I be better? Where can I strive for excellence in my life? Where is it that I have become comfortable with my spiritual life? Where is it that I have been settled into my routine and I'm okay with that? That I am okay with the fact that I'm a sinner and I'm just accepting it and I'm not going to make any progress in that? Where are those moments? And let us take them and hand them over to God saying, I need your help to take me to the next level. Because I can tell you, my job as a priest, my job as your pastor, is not to just keep you out of hell. My job as your pastor is not to just get you in the door of purgatory by the skin of our teeth. My job as a pastor, as your pastor, is to make saints, to make an army of saints here in Terre Haute, that we go out into the world and we make a change in it. That we can inspire others, that we can be an inspiration to our community in the change that we make in our own lives. That is my job. And yet so many of us, we feel tired when we're asked to give more. We grow weary of this constant call to conversion. And when that happens, when we feel that tiredness, that exhaustion in our spiritual life, when we think to ourselves, I've done all that I can, I would welcome you to take a look at the stations of the cross that surround us every time we come into this church. There are three stations in particular I want you to look at. Station number 3, number 7, and number 9. Because those are the three stations where Christ fell. He fell to the earth, and I have to imagine that he fell in his physical frame. He said to himself, maybe I've done enough right now. Maybe I've made it far enough to save these people. But of course, he knew it wasn't true. And so he got up again, again and again and again. He got up because he needed to, because he had to press forward. And he was willing to give everything to the very last breath of his being to save our souls. I would hope that we can do the same.